Recording, what's the matter here? So it's Parshas Matos Mase. We have been on Tzorim, the 3 weeks between Shavuos Betamiz and Tisha B'Av. And first of all, we have in the Sedra, we have the Parshas Nedarim, which is something a human being can add to the Torah, can make a Issa D'Oraisa. Thing is, a person has to know that even if I feel very strongly that something is forbidden to me, I have to recognize that there's a power greater than me that can make it, that can unmake what I do. And so the Gemara Nedarim says, Heter Nedarim Pereach Ba'avir, that a person can't for himself be Matin Ned. If I swear an oath not to eat something, go somewhere, or do something, or benefit from someone, then I need to have either three lay people, Sholesh Het Yoitois, or I need one mumcha, one person who really knows the Indian of Neder, and they can undo my oath. Because, you know, we are surrounded by God, and everything that is around us is made for us. When a person creates an oath, person makes a neder not to eat something or benefit from something or enjoy something, then it's like they're making a little square inside the circle. So we are surrounded by God in a circle, and a person makes a square inside that circle, and then between the edges of the square and the circle is emptiness. And the cholil, the flute, musical instruments called chola, because it has a chola, has an empty space inside it. You know, and the Hebrew word for space is cholal, the emptiness. And the Torah says lo yachel dvor, a person shouldn't create that empty space with his words. A person shouldn't make a space. So we are surrounded by the circle, and then with my oath I create this little square. I box myself into a little square. Between the edges of my square and that circle, there's empty space now. And so I need to understand that that's not how things are supposed to be. And I need somebody to release me from my oath. And so we have in this week's Sedra, after we've been through the Parshas Pinchas and the Karbonos, the sacrifices, not of sin offerings or anything, but the end of last week's Parsha was Parshas Pinchas. We have the daily offerings. We have the Shabbos offerings, the Rosh Chodesh, we have Yontav Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, Shmini Atzeres. We have from the beginning to the end, and that's a progression. But it starts with the 6 days of the week. Because everything starts with the 6 days of the week. And inside that 6 days of the week, we can create our holiness, and that leads into Shabbos. Even though we say Shabbos is the Mokar, the source of everything, and yet when God made the world, he started with the 6 days of the week. He didn't start from Shabbos. And that is because that's the nature of the world that we live in. Maybe there was a Shabbos before creation. Maybe it was the eternal Shabbos, the Shabbos Shabbosim. But it's not for, we don't ask what came before. We don't say, oh, there was a Shabbos before creation. We're not interested in that Shabbos before creation. All we know is what we have to work with. It's interesting that the second of this week's Sedras, Parshas Mase, it's about the journeys that we took. It says, these are the journeys of the Bnei Yisrael. Moshe wrote down Moitzoem Lemaseim, and that means their sorties to their journeys at the mouth of God. And these are their journeys to their sorties. And then the Torah reckons out the 42 journeys. So everybody asks, you know, why does the Torah twist this expression? You know, first it says Moitzoehem, they're going out. Again, we say in French, they're sorti. Lemaseehem, on their journeys. At the command of God. And Moshe And Moshe writes it, and it says, Ve'elan, these are Mas'ehem, their journeys, L'moitzo'ehem, to their sorti. So why does it twist it around? So the Radzim says that really there are 42 journeys, because there's the name of God that's written with 42 letters, the Shem Mem Beis. In the Tefillah Ona B'Koyach, which begins, you know, each letter, each word begins with a letter, and together they make up this name of 42 letters: Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadik, Ona B'Koyach, Gedulas, Yemincha, Tatzir, Tzerura, and so on. So the Radzina says the name Mem Beis, the Zohar Kodesh says that the name Mem Beis is in, so to speak, the head of God. The name Ayin Beis, that's the 72 letter name, which is, in a sense, it's the name Yud Kei Vav Kei written out with all the miluyim of the Yud and the Hey and the Vav. That the name of Ayin Beis is in the body, so to speak, of the king. The name Mem Beis is in the head. What's the difference between the head and the body? In the sense of the body is the physical. So the name Mem Beis is holy. It doesn't want to go down into the body. And so the Mem Beis, these 42 journeys that we took representing the name of God, which is the 42 letters, and the thing about 42 is that it's 7 times 6. So each of the midos, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoydi, Soid, each of them has a full complement. You know, each of them, you've got Chesed Shebechesed, you've got Gevura Shebechesed, Tiferes Shebechesed, but you don't got Malchus Shebechesed. And the same thing is Gevura. You have Chesed Shebegevura, Gevura Shebegevura, but you don't have Malchus of Gevura. You don't have Malchus of Tiferes. You don't have Malchus of Hoid or Yesoid. You don't even have Malchus of Malchus. What does it mean, Malchus? It means when you can see the kingdom of God, you can see the Oil Malchus Shemaim, you can see the reign of God in the world. That's the sphere of Malchus. And there was something about the nature of our journeying in through the wilderness where you couldn't see. It's like every time we messed up. And every time we got so far, we messed up again. And the Radzina says a moida digitoida, which just keeps on going around in my head. He says, we say in the Rosh Hashanah davening, Zuchati lo chesed norayach, God says, I remember the love when you were young. Lechtech acharai bamidbar, you followed me in the wilderness. So the Radzina says, you know, in the wilderness we were always chasing God. It was lechtech acharai. We had our face to God and we were always chasing God, and God always had his back to us. It was lechtech acharei. It was go behind me. You followed behind me. What does that mean? Every time we thought we were going to get there, God showed us, you screwed up. And then we finally got there, God says, nah, I'm somewhere else. And 42 times we strove to meet our challenges, and every time we got to where we thought we were, God says, no, I'm not there anymore. You have to try harder than that. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to every masa, Moshe Rabbeinu, every journey, Moshe would say, Kumo Hashem v'yofutzo oyevecho, get up, God, and let your enemies scatter. And then when we rested, he would say, Shuvu Hashem, sit, rest. So the Radzina says, because every journey was this nisoyan, it was this test, it was a fresh test. And every time we would get there, it was like God would say, no, you have to try harder. So this idea that all our journeys through the wilderness, God in a sense has his back turned to us. And then when it's over and Moshe is gone and there's nobody to say to God, Kumo Hashem. And when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, you know, we're saying that there's a connection between Masei and Parshas Nedarim. Why? Because the Zohar Kodesh says that Moshe is the Bala de Matrilusa, that Moshe is the husband, so to speak, of God. And Isha Yikaimenu v'if Isha Yifirenu, that a woman who makes a neder, the husband can support it and confirm it, or he can deny it, and he can undo it. And Moshe is called Isha Lekim, and the Zohar Kodesh brings this posuk, Isha Yikaimenu, like a man in his household. He can do what he wants. He can tell his wife what to do. That's the bechina of Moshe. And then he brings Kuma Hashem. Yeah. Moshe says, get up, God. Shuva Hashem, sit, God. And yet, when we come to Eretz Yisrael, then there's none of this testing, right? When we come into Eretz Yisrael, then already we're dealing with the Shem Ayin base of 72. Because Eretz Yisrael is Malchus. Eretz Yisrael is the revelation of God, is the Kabbalas Oy Malchus Shemaim. It's clear that God is the King. Even, says the Radzina, even when we're just digging in the field and we're doing farm work, you know, when you think of the difference in the lifestyle between the 40 years we were in the Midbar when we didn't do any work. The most hardest work that we did was to go out in the morning and pick up the mon that fell outside the tent. But the rest of the day and the rest of our lives, we spent as a doyer deya, as this intellectual generation, learning and talking about the Torah and delving into the Torah. And yet, we never get there. At every stage, we're making a chilul Hashem, right? It's just like you didn't get there. God wanted you to do this, and you didn't succeed. And then we come into Eretz Yisrael, and what? Then we find that everything that we do, everything, is kvod shemaim, is the glory of heaven. Even when we're making mistakes. And that's why in Eretz Yisrael they had, you know, 42 cities of Levites. We had the Ori Miklat, you know. What's the Ori Miklat? Even if I kill somebody by accident, even if I kill somebody by accident, that there's a Rotzon Hashem, you know, that the person, you know, family, his goyalim, his, those who are supposed to, you know, come and seek vengeance, they're not allowed to, right? Because I'm in Eretz Yisrael, which is the revelation of Malchus Shemayim, and there's a place even for killing somebody by accident. Which means that I've put new eyes. Shemachnisin einin b'midas Malchus. How does this happen? You know, that I can put eyes into Midas Malchus. So the Radzina says, the only way is, first you have to go through the 42 journeys. First you have to go through disappointment after disappointment, and you reach and you try, and then you stoop and you pick up your broken tools and you try again. And when you've been through a lifetime of Membes Masois, where you think that you're never going to be able to make Kiddush Hashem, you're never going to be able to through your work, everybody will see that God is king of the world. A person can go through all life and think, I missed on that one, and I screwed up on this one, and I messed there, and I broke this, and no. And then try again. After a lifetime of this is the Ratzina, then we come into Eretz Yisroel, where it doesn't matter what we do, Rabbeinu Shalom says. And so in Eretz Yisroel, there's a bechina of being face to face with God, even though in some senses when you're following God, you're closer. So when we were in the Midbar, in some senses we were right behind God, we were mamash following. It's lechtech acharei b'midbar, this is ahavas klului soyech, this is the love of the chosen and the kala, who are playing hide and seek. Then comes the time of Yehoshua, and Yehoshua is the moon to the sun. The moon shines because it's receiving direct light on its face from the face of the sun, face to face, even though it's so far away. Nevertheless, it's face to face in a way that we weren't in the Midbar. The Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma, that Rashi brings two pshotim, ele masse, these are the journeys, and why does it bring the different journeys? Medrash says, because there's a king, you know, he was taking his son to the doctor. And on the way back, the king says to his son, you see, here we fell asleep. Here you caught a cold. You know, here we got cold. Kan chash b'roishcho, and here you had a headache. Moshe LeMelech shehoyah helech m'bloy l'rafoysoy, right? So the Noyes Deshe says, it's interesting that first of all, the Medrash says, here we, Loshen Rabim, here we slept, here we got cold. And then when it came to the third one, the father says to his son, the king says to his son, Kan choshash tois roshcho, here you had a headache, you, not we. So he says that there are three different things that happened to us in the wilderness. That we fell asleep. And that was the story of the Egel. Something happened to us that we lost a certain consciousness. You know, after we'd done the Egel, we no longer felt in control. As it says, they took off the crowns that they had been wearing. You know, there was something that we lost, that we could no longer stand up to the nations of the world and claim to be so different, and we just felt so disempowered by what we had done. It says, "Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es edyam," and the Yidden took off these crowns that they had been given at Matan Torah, as we no longer felt that we could just brazen it out and face the goyim and talk about how different we are. And you know, the way we are with ourselves, that's the way God is with us. And so in a sense, we disempower God. So both of us, says God, Kan Yishanu, here we slept. Kan Hukarnu, here we got cold. This is the story with Amalek, right? It says, Ashikaruch Baderech, Amalek cooled us down. You know, we lost some of that passion. We lost some of our his oiris, you know. As a person empowers himself, as a person has passion below, a person has his oirusa de la sata, so he wakes up this oirusa de la elo. So Rabbeinu Shalom says, you know, after the story of Amalek and Rephidim, there was something of our passion, yours and mine, that went away. And then the Nezdesh says, but you know, when it comes to the third one was the Meraglim. There, it was all our own illusion. Because as we talked about in Parshas Shlach Lecha, that we really thought after that, because it says, and Moshe said, don't do that, God's not going to listen to you. And we cried, it says, and God didn't listen to us. So that's the meaning of Chashashta Bereshcha. We thought that our head is going to split open, and you know, we had the migraine that completely debilitated us. And we felt that we were completely debilitated. But there, Rabbeinu Shlomo says, there you're on your own, because it's not true. You're not really debilitated, because I was just hiding. You thought that you had made such a pigam. We talked about in Parshas Shlach Lecha that you thought that you'd really ruined everything by rejecting the land of Israel. It meant that there was something profoundly wrong with your own neshamas, and that there was something, you know, that you had, that there was something in you that had evolved along the wrong way. That you came, you realized, oh yeah, I've rejected Eretz Yisrael. It means I had something seriously, fundamentally, basically bad inside me, that I could come to such a madrega of rejecting Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Shlomo says, and I let you think that way, but kan chashashto b'roishcho, it's really just you. Because in terms of my relationship with you, nothing changed. You see, coming back to Moitzo'eyem and Lemaseyem, when we came out of Mitzrayim, that's called Moitzi. That's a sortie. And what Moitzi means in practice is that I can be in touch with that part of me that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam imagined before the creation of the world. Yisroel Olu B'machashovo, before the creation of the world, before the creation of Atzilus, before creation. God has in mind the Yiddish Kinder. God has you and me in mind. That's Moitzah. And when we came out of Mitzrayim, that was Moitzah. Mitzrayim, Koivrim is Bechorim. Mitzrayim are burying the Bechorim. And we, the Bechor, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, is coming out. And whenever that Inyan of Moitzah, that Inyan of what's inside God comes forth, then there's no din v'cheshbon, really. Like the Zohar HaKadosh says, when the Yidden came to the Yamsuf and we were so frightened and we cried to Moshe, and Moshe cries to God, and God says, Ma titzak elai? Why are you crying to me? Dabar al b'nei Yisroel v'Yisroel, speak to the Jewish children and tell them to start walking. So, you know, what's a Yid supposed to do but cry? I mean, the Yerub is chayit. If you're in trouble, you're going to daven. Why is God saying matitzak elai? So the Zohar HaKadosh says, because atik batiku talia milsen. At this point, God is revealing masha'ola b'machashova, what arose in the original thought before creation is the Yiddish kinder. So you're not really in trouble. All the troubles that you're in are illusory. But here is the revelation of what's real. So you don't have to cry. Just start walking, and whatever you do, it's going to be fine. That's the Inyan of Moitzo'eihem. They're sorti. And what's the Inyan of Masa? What's the Inyan of Journey? The Inyan of Journey is that I have to work. I have to go through I have to put myself through all these tests. And I'm in competition with myself, and I'm constantly striving to reach some kind of level of performance, of perfection, never mind perfection. I should, a basic standard I should be able to live up to. That's the masa, that's the journey that I keep on having to go through. The point is that if it's from God, then it's Moitzo'eyem Lemaseyem. Then the Moitzi comes before the Masi. If it's from me, then it's the other way around. Then I have to go through the journeying, I have to go through the test, I have to go through the evolution before I can get there to that revelation of what the divine plan is. and again we come through the whole parsha, the whole book of Numbers, and all the disappointments with ourselves that we go through, and we realize, we didn't even get there, we didn't even begin, it's not even happening, I'm going to have to try again, and the next time I try again, it got even harder. What is this? And so wherever we go in the book of Numbers, we keep on coming back to the same thing, that there's a reality and then there's the illusion. And however much we try to escape the illusion, we keep on getting caught up in it. And that itself is the ultimate test, that we accept upon ourselves that this is the way that God made us, that we can't really ever escape the illusion that we're in, and that the only thing that carries us through, and that we don't despair of our disappointments with ourselves and our failures, is that we believe that it's an illusion, and we believe that we're living in the illusion, and that we have the faith that there is moitzo ehem lemaseyem, and that God has us b'machashova, that we arose so in the thought, and that everything is letoiva, that everything that God made is because He wants to do us a favor. And if everything were so clear that we knew in advance that everything we're going to do is going to succeed, and that we ourselves are a success, that we arose in the thought, and that we can't do anything wrong, and there wouldn't be any joy in what we're going to get. And we see the story of Reuven. The Torah tells us this week, Levnei Reuven, Levnei Gad, Mikne Rav. They had tremendous property. You know, property. They had sheep. And so they come to Moshe, and they say to Moshe, you know, we have what we have would be better off here in outside the land of Canaan. And we would like to settle here in Transjordan. You know, everybody really had the same number of sheep. Why would the tribe of Reuven and the tribe of Gad have more sheep than anybody else? And that says Mikne Rav doesn't really mean sheep. It means great wealth and great kinyan, acquisition. And you know what it was that they acquired? They wanted to honor Moshe. They knew that Moshe is not going into the land. And they said, please Moshe. Well, they didn't word it that way, but really they're saying, please Moshe, we would love for you to be buried in our chelek. We want to stick with you even in death. And that's the meaning of Mikne Rav. And we know Yaakov Avinu, he cursed Shimon and Levi, because as we were saying last week, he said to them, when you killed Shechem and his whole city, you said, Hakazoyne Yasu Hasenu, what our sister is going to be treated this way, and you were so ayayay about sexuality. But then if you really had been so holy about sexuality, you wouldn't have sold Yosef, who was the Midas Yisoid. So therefore, when you killed Shechem, it was your anger. No, so he curses the anger, Orur Abba. When it comes to Reuven, Ashechilalto Yitzue Olo, that, you know, you profaned my bed. So he didn't know. I mean, there is also, he was suspected him of, you know, having sinned with sexuality, but he says you couldn't have sinned with your sexuality because the Torah tells us that you tried to rescue Yosef. So you know what? I'm not going to curse you. We're going to leave it and see. You know, in a sense, Moshe is the reincarnation of Yaakov. You know, Moshe milagav Yaakov lebar. Moshe is the inside of Das. Yaakov is the outside of Das. Yaakov's the face, and Moshe is like the heart, the mind. Moshe says, Yichi Reuven, let Reuven live. And he gives back to Reuven all the things that his father had taken away, even though Reuven loses the Bechoris, he's no longer considered the firstborn, the Kahuna, the Malchus, he doesn't get that back, but he gets back something, Yihim Sov Mispar. that Reuven, doesn't matter how few in number he is, his mispar, his something which is numbered individually, is a davar choshev, is a thing that of significance. And Reuven is significant, and it will always remain significant. And the prophet Hoshea, who comes from the tribe of Reuven, when God says, "Bonechachot," your children have sinned. So the tribe of Reuven, in some ways, still remains like the father to us all. And we're told that on the stone, the 12 stones that the high priest carried on his breast, the breastplate on the stone of Reuven, it said Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Reuven. And all the others, it just said their name, Shimon Levi. But on the first one, it said Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Reuven. So Moshe has made Reuven one of the fathers of the Jewish people. And, you know, Reuven, what was it that he did? He lay on his father's bed. And once he'd lain on his father's bed, his father didn't want to lie on that bed anymore. And so he didn't sleep with Zilpah anymore, and he didn't have any more children. He didn't sleep with Bilhah anymore, and he didn't have any children. And so, you know, Yaakov had tanis. Yaakov had complaints against Reuven, but he didn't curse him because it was still something that needed to be worked out. And now, Reuven, and also God, in you know, Vezoyse Brocha says Sham Chelkas Mechoykik Sofun, that the Moshe is buried in the Chelek, in the inheritance of the tribe of God, and yet we know that it didn't happen like that. That he's buried in the tribe of Reuven, but both of them meant the same thing. They both wanted Moshe to be buried in their chilek, and they wanted to give honor to Moshe. And in doing so, they raised the holiness of the other side of the River Jordan, the Transjordan, that person who lived there could bring Trumas Masers like they could in Eretz Yisroel. The power of wanting to do Moshe Rabbeinu a favor. You know, God says to Moshe, do the war in Midian and then you're going to die. Because Midian is the illusion. And Moshe Rabbeinu was what we needed to deal with the illusion. Once Midian was gone, Moshe Rabbeinu's job was gone. Because really, all we need to do is get past the illusion. And then we're in Eretz Yisroel.